This podcast is a production of KCRW.
Just a warning before we get started, this episode contains strong language.
Are you nervous?
I mean, this is an uncontrolled environment. Anything can happen, so it's just be stressful.
I'm standing with Rob Reynolds at Veterans Row. It's been 3 weeks since the second murder at this encampment, and it's just hours before VA Secretary Dennis McDonough, the head of the entire VA system, is supposed to arrive here. Rob's quickly making his way through a pack of Marlboro Reds. He spent the last couple days before McDonough's visit trying to get the camp back to dress right dress.
We put some new flags on tents, did a trash run this morning. We filled up 4 dumpsters.
Are you afraid that if it looks too nice, he won't think there's a big problem?
No, I mean, the...
<I'm joking.
laughs> I just like, look, I get it's an encampment and everything like that. I like seeing flags straight on the tents, you know, looking somewhat professional.
And it does. The flags are lined up and straight. The trash piles in front of or between tents are mostly gone. But Rob wants to communicate more to Secretary McDonough than professionalism. He plans to ask for changes on the huge VA campus next to Veterans Row. Changes he believes will lead to fewer veterans ending up on this street.
Most of the veterans themselves, they agree that there should be somewhere they could come to the property any time of day or night, 24 hours. They should be able to just show up and get a bed. And the VA's got to get these housing units done, and they have to.
The housing units that the federal government promised in 2016 to build on its campus after a legal settlement. 1,200 apartments for homeless and low-income veterans. At this point, October 2021, just 54 housing units have opened. In the same time frame, the campus has gained a new UCLA baseball practice field, part of a new subway station, and most of a large VA commercial kitchen. Rob's now seen 2 men die out here waiting for that housing to happen, and he's wondering if these tragedies might motivate the VA to finally speed up its housing plan, and whether that's what Secretary McDonough is here to do.
He can just sign something, you know, just a stroke of his hand, you know, and get some stuff done here.
When a character shows up out of the blue in a book or a movie and fixes what was previously an unfixable problem, it's annoying, total cop-out. But in real life, we hope for this to happen all the time. In this case, it's not just Rob. I also hope Secretary McDonough might be about to swoop in and change everything here. But what will really change is the entire way I see the VA. I'm Anna Scott. You're listening to City of Tents, Veterans Row, Episode 6, The Big Brass. So, who is this guy who's about to swoop in from D.C., this possible savior of Veterans Row? Well, Dennis Richard McDonough is new to the VA. He's not a military veteran himself, but he is a veteran of Washington, D.C. He worked as Obama's White House chief of staff for 4 years. In news stories, McDonough's often described by the same handful of traits, like a caricature. Dennis McDonough is blunt, a control freak. The magazine Politico once described McDonough as having, quote, the ashen asceticism of a 16th century Vatican fixer. Oh my God, Politico, calm down. At the same time, it's exciting to imagine this Washington skullcracker coming to Veterans Row, getting into tents, looking the veterans in their eyes, hearing their stories face to face, and returning to Washington with a message for his boss, like some Jimmy Stewart movie character. By God, Mr. President, we are failing these veterans. We must get them all into housing now. This cannot go on another day. Yes, I'm exaggerating, but I'm also being serious. It's now late afternoon. McDonough is scheduled to arrive any minute. I'm standing with a small crowd of journalists, VA employees, and veterans on the sidewalk at one end of Veterans Row, right outside the campus gate. Standing with me is Brian Hewlett. He's in his early 60s, says he served in the Navy, and has been homeless for about 7 years. Brian has a list of gripes he'd like to share with Secretary McDonough.
There's no bathrooms open for the homeless. They got a couple porta potties here, but do you want to use it after somebody's had diarrhea all over the seat? I sure don't. I've had to shit in a plastic bag for 7 years. Oh, there he is. I bet that's his cars back there. They're just keeping it low profile.
A white bus has parked inside the gate where we're standing. McDonough gets out. He's thin, tall, dark suit and tie, white hair. And Ashton's asceticism, I can see it. He's with an entourage. They arrange themselves as a group in the parking lot. Rob, in his sweatshirt, jeans, and baseball cap, joins them too. He's lost the cigarette. They shake hands, and I can't believe these two worlds are colliding.
Yeah, so I think there's an opportunity here.
Rob and the secretary lead the pack through the gate to the sidewalk, already mid-conversation. They walk the line of tents, ignoring the reporters who have now surrounded them. I'm stuck a few bodies behind them, holding my mic out to capture what I can of their conversation.
Yeah, so if we're not catching these people when they show up on...
Rob's telling McDonough something he's told me many times, how a lot of veterans end up at this encampment after not being able to get into programs on the VA campus at critical moments.
It creates the whole problem, yeah. Especially people with mental illness. They go in, they're turned away, and they come out here, just compounds.
And other facilities and places around the county or around the region, what's your sense of accessibility there?
I'm watching McDonough's face. He's masked, so it's hard to read his expression, but he looks like he's listening, serious. I have no idea what he's thinking. The tour is short. It's a walk up and down the line of tents, cameras in tow. No getting in tents, no heart-to-heart with veterans. No apparent shock in McDonough's reaction. It's definitely not the Jimmy Stewart moment I was picturing. It's still a big deal that he's here, but honestly, it feels more like a photo op than a meaningful visit. When McDonough and the whole group get back to where they started, Brian Helip sees his opening. He walks up to the secretary and gets right into his list of gripes.
This is a thing where I see the nonprofits profiting off the homeless instead of actually housing us. They keep asking, can we sign you up for services? I signed up for services when I joined the Navy.
I hear you, Brian. What's your last name, Brian?
Helip, H-E-L-I-P.
Right. Let's get you into housing tonight, okay?
And so,
no,
yes.
Then we'll work everything else. Let's get you into housing.
I'm taken care of now. I want to see the rest of the men taken care of.
Let's get you in housing tonight.
Thank you for everyone being here.
A little while later, Brian leaves to spend the night at a hotel. It doesn't solve his homelessness, but it's more follow-through than I usually see from officials at Veterans Row. At the end of the visit, McDonough turns to Rob, and as he talks, I remember that Politico also compared McDonough to a 1950s high school football coach.
Are you taking care of yourself?
I am, yeah.
Yeah?
It's a lot of
you
work.
Doing three squares?
I am, yeah.
Yeah, you're sleeping?
I'm sleeping.
Yeah.
Out here, busy, though. That's why I want to get some of this stuff fixed, so.
Yeah. Okay.
Can definitely make it easier.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, man.
McDonough steps through the VA gate and on the edge of the campus stops to finally address the reporters.
This visit underscores a fundamental fact, which is that we think that any homeless vet is too many. Any one homeless vet is too many.
Television reporter Alex Michelson from the local station Fox 11 jumps in with a question.
The United States of America is the richest country in the world. We're across the street from one of the richest neighborhoods in the entire country. And yet, this is here. What goes through your mind when you look into those tents? And what do you say to somebody who says, this is completely unacceptable that this is happening here?
I agree that this is completely unacceptable. That's why I'm here. That's why I just spent the day with our team here. That's why I've just taken the walk here on San Vicente. And it is unacceptable.
And what's he going to do about it? I'm hoping to find out tomorrow when I meet with McDonough face to face.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
The most burning question I have for McDonough is why it's taking so long for the VA to finish the housing it promised on its West Los Angeles campus. Again, they were supposed to have more than half of those 1,200 units done by now. Instead, at the time of McDonough's visit, they have just the 54, with about another 180 scheduled to open in early 2023. Recently, I learned one surprising reason. It's that the VA isn't paying to build the new apartments. Instead, they've handed the project off to affordable housing developers. And those developers have to scratch together the hundreds of millions of dollars to construct the units, which has added this whole extra layer of time-sucking bureaucracy on a project that could save lives. Why can't the VA, with its more than $300 billion budget, just directly pay for the project themselves? Could McDonough make that happen? I arrived for my interview with him in a windowless conference room inside the VA hospital. He walks in, dressed in one of his signature dark suits. As I'm turning on my recorder, I ask him to say into the microphone what he had for breakfast, the standard soundcheck question. He says that what he had for breakfast is none of my business, which I try to play off. True.
Okay.
True, but I am in the business of asking questions.
I had Greek vanilla yogurt.
It's the first little sign that this conversation isn't going to go how I expect. McDonough has a strict 15-minute window for this, and we have a lot to cover.
With the long-term plans for the campus and the housing for homeless veterans, why do you think that plan has been so slow going so far, and what do you plan to do to speed it up?
Why has it been slow? You have to ask somebody else about that, because to be honest with you, I've been here in this job 6 months. But my goal is to drive this to completion because that's what our vets expect. I'm not looking back much on, you know, who's to blame for what. I'm looking forward on how I get this done.
But still, I was asking, what was he going to do to speed it up?
I've made clear what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep my foot on the gas. Full stop.
He wouldn't offer more details. And with 15 minutes for this interview, I too have to keep my foot on the gas. But I'm not ready to let go of this line of questioning.
Why can't the VA just pay for the housing construction?
Well, look, we are investing a lot in infrastructure development here to make sure that everything that is turned over consistent with the requirements of law and the rulings.
His answer is that the VA is paying for things like plumbing, electrical lines, and other infrastructure upgrades to support the housing, which is true. And that's a big, expensive job in and of itself, hundreds of millions of dollars. But it doesn't answer my question.
Fact is, we just have to move faster, and we're going to move faster.
McDonough isn't here to crack skulls or upend how the housing plan is being executed. So why is he here?
Is there anything I didn't ask about this campus, about veteran homelessness that you think is important? I was trying to cover a lot in a short amount of time.
I just really hope that as important as the veteran homelessness questions are, this facility and the work that is done here is a great testament to the team of VA professionals who are here, strengthening healthcare for veterans across the country, especially on treatment of COVID, and helping revolutionize healthcare for everybody in this country.
Oh, what he'd really like to talk about here is the VA's healthcare facilities. I've been hyper-focused on this one encampment outside this VA campus, but Dennis McDonough is looking at it from the tippy top of an enormous federal agency whose primary job is not solving homelessness. One of the VA's biggest jobs is providing healthcare. It's the biggest healthcare system in the country, actually. So I could understand thinking, why should they pay for affordable housing construction? But also, McDonough has said ending veteran homelessness is a top VA priority. And he didn't really address what that means, where the agency's limits are, and why. The people who have been advocating for this housing on the West LA campus have their own theories about why the VA hasn't built the housing it promised by now.
People always ask me, okay, whose fault is it? point a finger at somebody. And I don't, because there is nobody person to point the finger at. It's really an understanding that exists amongst the powerful people in Los Angeles to not build on that property.
This is Bobby Shriver, the Kennedy who helped organize the lawsuit that led to the housing plan in the first place. At the time, it felt like a victory. Now, he says, it feels like a big waste. His diagnosis of what went wrong starts with where the West LA VA campus sits, on top of some of the most valuable real estate in the world.
There's a great line in the Paul Simon song where he says, it's a loose affiliation of millionaires and billionaires and hey, baby. There's a lot of that going on.
He says there's not a lot of incentive for people with power to push for this veteran housing to happen on the property, at least not any faster than it's already happening. A lot of entities have stakes in this land, and they've exerted political pressure to keep it as is, sometimes to the detriment of veterans. Like, all the way back in the 80s, some homeowners fought a plan to put trailers on the property for homeless vets, and won. That's one example. Bobby gives me another. He recalls a decade ago, his team won a victory in its lawsuit against the VA. A judge ruled that the VA was indeed misusing its enormous campus by leasing portions of it for things that had nothing to do with vets, like to UCLA for its baseball field, or the private Brentwood School with its athletic complex. When that ruling came down, Bobby says,
many people called me instantly and asked for a meeting because they thought I could, which was wrong, but they thought because I had been the leader of the lawsuit, I would somehow arrange for UCLA's lease to be excluded from the process or Brentwood School's lease to be excluded and that LA could keep its dog park. So I saw the loose affiliation arise.
And the way Bobby sees it, the VA could easily speed up this housing construction by putting some of its, again, $300 billion budget into it. He doesn't buy any excuse not to.
The VA is the second biggest funded agency in the United States government after DOD. But they don't have the money? That's not a serious thing to tell people, oh, sorry, we don't have the money. That's not serious. No one believes that. Who knows what's happening? Whenever anybody tells you it's a money problem, they're distracting you. They don't want to do it. Not a priority. So they say it's too expensive.
Okay, that's Bobby's explanation. But how does the VA justify not spending this money? I finally get some clarity months after McDonough's visit, when I'm on what I expect to be a standard media call with VA leaders in West LA. It's a general briefing on veteran homelessness and their plans for their huge campus.
Before I introduce you to our VA leaders, I'll discuss a few ground rules. We'll record today's call.
Things get interesting when Dr. Stephen Braverman, the VA's top official in Los Angeles, explains that the reason the VA isn't paying for the homeless housing, the reason the developers are now out fundraising for it, is that the VA is not allowed to.
Because of the laws that we have in our country, VA is not allowed, not permitted, not authorized to build housing.
What laws?
I don't have the specifics to quote you, but we can certainly get our legal team to provide a review there.
At this point, a local activist and VA obsessive who lives in Brentwood and has been lurking quietly on the call till now pipes up. Ryan Thompson.
Tell me what law, Stephen Braverman, what law exactly is it that does not allow VA to do done? You are liars who are killing veterans. So you're lying to the public and the press right here. Okay, and there is no law that you can cite. There is no law that you have ever cited about this. It's total bullshit. So why are you wasting the public's?
I think we have reached an impasse, sir, and we will reach back out to you to get your questions.
You have my attention. Now I want to know, too, what law? After this call, I begin a long exchange of emails with a VA spokesman. I send a lot of questions, all focused around trying to understand VA budget decisions. And finally, in the back and forth, I get an email where he spells out why the VA can't pay to build the housing. It begins, "The absence of statutory authority or annual appropriations for an agency to do something effectively prohibits the agency from doing it." I read it a few times, don't understand it, so I take it to a former VA advisor for translation, who tells me, oh, they can't legally pay for the housing because they never put it into their budget. I realize what the VA spokesman is saying in a convoluted, backwards way is that building housing isn't really the agency's job, not part of its core mission, as he puts it, not part of their core budget, and they're not looking to change that. But some people argue they could be, like David Shulkin. He was VA undersecretary when the Obama administration agreed to the housing plan, then VA secretary for a year under Trump. He says when they first came up with the plan to remake the West LA campus, it made sense to bring in affordable housing developers to handle fundraising and construction because that's what they do all the time.
Now, if the plan isn't working or it's slow, it's totally appropriate to revisit the plan because the goal is to get veterans off the street and find them homes.
As things are, current VA officials say getting the 1,200 housing units done could take until the middle of 2030.
That just seems completely unacceptable. These are people every night that are going to sleep and don't have the security that you and I have. And so we need to figure out a much quicker plan.
And when I brought up the idea that housing isn't part of VA's core mission, Shulkin surprised me. He's a medical doctor himself, and he says for many patients, healthcare is housing. And as far as he knows, that's the agency's stance too.
VA does not differentiate homelessness from healthcare. It is part of the mission. And nobody that I came across is unclear.
Just when I've given up on that quicker plan ever happening, current VA Secretary Dennis McDonough does something surprising. He's holding one of his regular press conferences in D.C., updating reporters on various VA-related things, when he makes this announcement.
2 weeks ago, I visited Veterans Row in Los Angeles. It's an encampment of homeless veterans just outside the West L.A. Veterans Affairs Medical Center. So today we want to announce two very concrete steps we're taking to address veterans' homelessness in Los Angeles. First, we're going to get the vets currently living on Veterans Row into housing by November.
Really?
Second, we're going to get an additional 500 homeless vets in Los Angeles into housing by the end of this year, making sure they're home for the holidays.
That's about 40 veterans he's promising to have in housing by the end of the month, 500 more by the end of the year. Yes, the sheriff's department already promised the vets will be off the sidewalk in that time, but McDonough's saying they'll be housed. How the hell is he going to do that? That's next time on City of Tents, Veterans Row. City of Tents, Veterans Row is written, reported, and hosted by me, Anna Scott. Our story editor is Audrey Quinn. Executive produced by Sonia Geis. Sound design, scoring, and mixed by Ray Guarna, with production assistance from Zeke Reed and music provided by Megatrax. Production help and fact-checking by Alexandra Applegate. Special thanks to Lou Olkowski, Ryan Kyloff, Alex Goldmark, and Chase Millsap.